I keep sort of imagining that I'm going to be able to use Facebook in a way that approximates how I was able to use it previously. And it occurs to me how restrictive such a thing must be. It occurs to me that maybe it's really better not to use it in the way that I was using it before for so many reasons we could list continually. Part of the mission of all of this infrastructure is to give severely disabled people who only have Facebook to use to communicate other options, supported platforms, and supported access to caring resources in community. Interacting with Facebook at all scrambles my brain a lot, terribly. Horrible things. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but it does seem that it's needed. And then people tell me that it's needed. But when we are each severely disabled and so isolated, and people so easily forget about us when we cannot keep up with a kind of mainstream pace, should I be battering my body in order to accomplish these things? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe. Do you have something similar that you're experiencing?
I'd like to talk for a little bit about how content moves across the network when it comes to Intuitive Public Radio.
Each of our headings is representative of projects being compiled by survivors of severity, most of us at violent intersections, where we are preserving our expressions, our knowledge, our approaches to surviving, because we recognize that there is no one else anywhere who is preserving those things. And that if we want to survive more effectively, then we make sure that our work is preserved and that others can access it and learn from it, rather than having to learn the same lessons repeatedly and violently. For each of our channels in Telegram Messenger, we have public broadcast channels that have public URLs, such as t.me/s/intuitivepublicearth, from which I am now broadcasting. There are public broadcast channels that are not accessible via the web, but are compiling public content ongoing. There are also private work groups of many, many, many kinds, usually asynchronous, where survivors are supporting one another and survivors have materials prepared to support people who are not disabled, who are not severely disabled, who would not consider themselves survivors of severity, but who recognize the crucial resources that survivors have been compiling. Each one of these headings for what might look like a single project is usually representative of multiple projects and multiple groups that are associating with that space in some way. The numbers at the top of each channel, the count for subscribers, is pretty misleading because the bulk of our content flow happens through relationships in the network rather than something that would be easy to measure necessarily. Yes, as you might surmise, that in many ways can make the landscape tricky. And at the same time, we are heavily prioritizing learning to build trust, engaging with better strength our our relationship building in community, because we recognize that when we prioritize relationship building, there are a lot of problems otherwise caused by miscommunication and misunderstanding that are resolved instantaneously. So where severely disabled, severely affected survivors of violent intersections have said to us, we want to be a part of these projects, we want to be a part of broadcasts, in many cases, they must say, I want to participate in the ways that help me, but you can't reveal my name and you can't reveal details about me because that profoundly affects my safety. And so we have to have a way for survivors of these intersections to participate, because when they recover, we all benefit. So where we might have 21 subscribers in a Telegram Messenger channel, for instance, we have a growing network of interconnections where survivors who are part of a particular group or a particular project are conveying to others who could not possibly reach Telegram Messenger, and conveying back their contributions so that many more people can participate who are entirely ignored by what is usually prioritized in terms of numeric measurements in data systems. So where any number of social media platforms will be prioritizing metrics that come to them in numbers based on specific tasks and actions and algorithms. When we prioritize connecting through relationships using whatever modalities are necessary in order to sustain a respectful, supportive, collaborative relationship between participants, we are prioritizing the more human aspects of our interactions, and we get so much nourishment from it. So I don't know what that number really is. I know that it's a lot higher than 21 subscribers when it comes to Intuitive Public Earth. We also have multiple different modalities and multiple different platforms for any given project, whether it has a public headline or not. So we have an organized content partnership, let's say, that's hilarious, between Intuitive Public Earth and Intuitive Emergent. And there are podcasts to be found at anchor.fm/emergent that are part of the Intuitive Public Earth project. For any given heading, there are probably at least a dozen of those different aspects of different projects, and also a number of private headings that different survivors are working in order to allow them to participate neurologically. For instance, I am able to participate neurologically because Intuitive Public Radio has diverse, seemingly infinite spaces of different subject and project headings to allow me to meaningfully, gainfully express whatever my body is most healed at that time by expressing. I go to a subject heading that resonates for me. I express what I need, or I practice expressing in a way that is preparing materials for, in my case, a public professional platform connected to income streams that collaboratively we've all been building for the communities involved and for one another individually. When we're focusing on this together, even survivors who have been abandoned at severe intersections that they were assumed to have perished at, because most people everywhere just sort of stare blankly. They don't understand that people having such extreme issues can exist. And in fact, we're not dead. We've been building this. And so as a result, what we can accomplish to a lot of people seems to make no sense. A lot of people have treated us as if we are some huge organization with funding and extensive able-bodied participation, because people in the world right now don't often know what it looks like to have a community of the most severely disabled people all collaborating in certain ways very successfully. Successfully enough to make them more invisible in certain cases. With the levels of severity that all are acting through and amidst across this whole network, it becomes more and more important for us to recognize those efforts and to recognize where survival support is urgently needed. If you would like to make a financial contribution, which we invite you to do most gratefully, you can navigate to intuitive.community/donations. You can also raise your voice in support of these projects by navigating to intuitive.pub/support. To participate in a broadcast, you can send us a note that we will immediately amplify to this email address, public@intuitive.pub, or you can send us a message using the button at the bottom right of intuitive.pub/broadcast. We will receive that message on Telegram. We'll be able to see that you sent it from our public broadcast page, and we will send it out over the internet. Send it further out over the internet to probably a zillion places. We are very proud of what we have risked our lives to continue building. And we know that it's only a matter of time before a lot of others recognize the fruitfulness in engaging with it. People who are not themselves so severely disabled. And knowing that people who are very healthy and able-bodied receive such benefits from being in community with people who have experienced tremendous extremity, hardship, oppression, disabilities that don't ever get talked about, even in disability rights communities. We are very proud to be helping survivors raise their voices where they have been entirely unheard from otherwise and previously. And we're very grateful for the efforts of survivors of severity at these terrible intersections who have been working in the network invisibly, many of them needing to protect their privacy for their physical safety, and also many of them because they want to do good in the world and they don't want credit and they don't want it to be about that. And a lot of people who have risen to the occasion privately with such strength for their community that even though they can't be a public part of our broadcasting, they have sustained these efforts in ways that I can't even imagine verbalizing, because the impact has been so tremendous to the lives of so many people severely suffering. My gratitude and all our gratitude to those individuals. Some of them I'm certain know who they are. Some of them we don't even know if we can reach again. So it's important that we keep building all of this excellent resourcing. Find more of this important conversation at the following addresses: intuitive.pub/earth. intuitive.community/facilitation, intuitive.pub/radio. Thank you for listening. Part of this whole thing that is so awesome is confidence in the network, that we can have gotten to the point where we could have confidence in a network built in this way that is so, I guess, unanticipated, unexpected, unintuitive. I mean, the meaning of the word intuitive. To feel confidence in the network, to feel that knowing that we're part of this structure, we can afford to plan further into the future. Don't gasp, breathe, keep breathing. That's amazing. So we are being super duper brave, and we are bringing our private work groups out into public community conversations. The very beginning of Intuitive Public Radio Austin was on the basis of experiences by survivors at Austin, Texas intersections involving a number of different communities, depending on your focus, how many you might list. And I'm not ready yet to call out the specific community intersections, but a lot has already been said publicly about it. We have been struggling a long time to get to the point where we could put more of our resources in public places, and we have been directly confronted by the challenge or impossibility of doing that with the continuing damage to our physical bodies. And yet every moment is a new mix of possible resourcing. So we're making progress inevitably, which is a good thing. I think that there is a post by Zia. Zia is also, in ways, has been me. Zia is a composite name that several different survivors use in order to express themselves so that they will not have their physical safety compromised. More about that was broadcast today at t.me/s/intuitive public earth, which I believe also went to the Intuitive Public Radio main Telegram broadcast channel. One of the things that interrelates us very strongly in the Intuitive Public Radio network is that we, as survivors, have recognized how much we gain from strengthening our communication collectively, where many people, many places do not realize what one can gain by communicating collectively with strength. And especially when so many of us have resources and life experience and skill sets already that attend to the need for emotional resilience and emotional intelligence in all our communities, to the need for resolution to confrontations, conflict resolution, trauma recovery. These are resources that have been stripped out of most communities of hardship. And the systems that claim to offer or restore those resources are using commercial modalities that prevent those at most extreme intersections from benefiting. what I just described also represents a number of known and documented pathways for vulnerable people, for young people, for elderly people, and for severely disabled people who are drawn into human trafficking. Each of us called Zia, and each of us who might associate with a different composite name, the Intuitive Community Network and the Intuitive Public Radio Network were created specifically to document those pathways, because no one but survivors of the most severe intersections have seemed to be at all aware of them. Thank you so much to members of Bridge Family Group who have helped us get some of this design software working. It's really hard to use software on a computer if you can't, I don't know how to describe it, if you can't come into contact with anything, if you cannot reliably see what you're doing, you cannot reliably move your fingers in order to hit a button or move a mouse or move a stylus in the correct direction. It's very, very challenging, but I'll tell you something. It's possible. That's worth a joyful feeling. But I'd say we're making really good progress if we're broadcasting. And today we're broadcasting. t.me/s/AustinIPR. intuitive.pub/radio/Austin. And I believe anchor.fm/AustinIPR. I think. Is making the effort to express through the network in the way that we can safely express, because we know how many more of us are out there unable to reach access to safety. And we are living with that every moment of every day in our living bodies. So now what we seem to have is the means to stitch together our massive knowledge base of visual and auditory media in terms of videos, in terms of filmographic content, and the efforts of survivors at invisibly violent intersections who have compiled such important documentary content. So what just happened? What did we just do? We just pieced together a few different software packages to serve specific needs so that severely disabled creators could reach certain functions and can export the media that we've been working on for a number of years now without quite having the ability to finish the projects that we had been compiling. I'm going to try to really be present with my sense of physical relief about the progress that we've been making. It has been very painful to catalog the progress we have not been making, which we could do all day. But we can't if we're going to survive the day. And I think that there are going to be gifts for us in the mystery of processing this process, even if we can't predict how safe we will be in the midst of it, because there are just too many variables. What severely disabled, severely affected people need for real safety is interconnectivity and effective communications in caring community. Yes, it's a real thing. If you would like to be involved in our collaborative filmographic documentarian projects, you can check out t.me/s/intuitive public work groups. You could also check out t.me/s/intuitive anchor. Definitely take a look at t.me/s/intuitive public media and intuitive.pub/media. I'm going to practice breathing. Would you like to breathe with me? We would love your assistance with this. If you would like to raise your voice as part of our collective efforts, please navigate to intuitive.pub/support. And to make financial contributions, which for us are very, very helpful, navigate to intuitive.community/donations. And now, although I am, and we are affected by our various severe intersections and extreme physiological symptoms, and yet, through the intuitive public infrastructure we've all been building, and through the efforts of groups like Bridge Family Group, we are severely disabled people managing to help severely disabled people be a little less severely disabled. So what's the next thing that I'm going to be able to export because we've achieved these things? I think I'm still reeling from the experience of attempting it and meeting with success. Zowie. Yeah. It's good progress. But it's a confrontive process when our experiences are often so invisibly violent. Gratitude to all the efforts of Intuitive Public Media in providing trauma recovery support to survivors at these intersections so that we would all have one another to collaborate with. Even if the progress we make is barely visible to others, even if it seems like we might still die in the attempt, yet we have been collaborating and we're not dead yet.